With the latest agriculture news from across the state and nation, it's time for the AgNet News Hour from AgNet West. Here's your host, Danielle Leal.
Hey everyone, Danielle Leal here, and thanks for getting your agriculture news with me today. Prune farmers are cautious about overplanting. Valley California prune growers are earning a higher price with supply more in line with demand. Markets of the dried fruit have a message for them. Don't go nuts on prunes. The warning comes as the price of almonds and walnuts has trended down in recent years and growers remove more of those trees. People in the prune business are concerned that farmers looking to replace their nut orchards will overplant prunes. Thanks to depleted inventory, prune prices have improved over lows of 5 years ago. Growers say they want to keep it that way. That was today's California Farm Bureau Food and Farm News Report, and now let's get into today's show headlines. California's Department of Water Resources has released the updated version of its California Water Plan. This drafted water plan is up for public review. The draft includes updates that promote climate resilience, watershed planning, and equity. The plan is intended to guide water managers, including tribal communities, water districts, cities, and counties, to better prepare and plan for a future with climate extremes. Public comment will be taken through October 19th, and there are three options to submit a comment. You can complete an online form. You can submit comments via email to cwpcom@water.ca.gov or by sending a letter in the mail to the Department of Water Resources. For direct insight into the plan, DWR is hosting the California Water Plan Update 2023 plenary on October 3rd and 4th in Roseville. This is a free hybrid event, and it will feature keynote speakers and cover key aspects of the updates. Attendees will have opportunities to ask questions and to offer direct feedback. Registration is now open. For more information, you can visit the DWR's plan website. And now here's AgNet West Brian German with more agriculture news.
One of USDA's major priorities is being proactive in the prevention and mitigation of pest and disease threats. Dr. Julie Wallen with USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service highlights the mission of the National Animal Health Laboratory Network.
And that's a network of over 60 animal health diagnostic laboratories, and they really are a critical first line of defense because they are the folks who will receive samples from veterinarians and be able to quickly tell if it's a really serious disease like foot and mouth disease or if it's a less serious disease. So the NALM network, or National Animal Health Laboratory Network, adds to our nation's preparedness for animal disease outbreaks by providing that first line of being able to detect where the disease is and where it isn't and allow us to quickly contain it.
Efforts to improve sustainability can provide direct benefits on farm, but can also help improve market demand. Senior Director of Sustainability for Blue Diamond, Dan Sonke, describes how their USDA Climate Smart Grant program creates opportunity for positive engagement with customers.
Because customers are looking for talking points about how climate change is being mitigated in their supply chain, or how growers are utilizing good practices, even to the point of beautiful pictures of cover crops and orchards during bloom time. And all of those things lend themselves to a market that is eager to tell good stories to consumers and others. So we're excited to build that into our grant program. And the Orchard Stewardship Incentive Program has that same focus. We can benefit our members, but we can also utilize the information to portray the good benefits of California almonds to our market.
I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Thanks, Brian, and stay tuned as we'll have more of the day's agriculture news and farm features here on the AgNet News Hour. Don't forget, if you've missed any of our morning shows or if you simply need to catch the news at a different time, you can always subscribe to our podcast and have statewide agriculture news at your convenience. All you have to do is search our name of AgNet West on your favorite podcast downloading app. That's AgNet West. It's available on both Apple and Android devices.
How are GMO plants made? First, scientists look for a desired trait in a plant, animal, or even bacteria. It could be a trait like resistance to drought, insects, or viruses. Then they copy the gene that contains that trait and insert it into the DNA of the plant they want to improve. Scientists then grow that plant to see if it adopts the desired trait. Feed your mind with more GMO facts on FDA's website.
Welcome back to the AgNet News Hour by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal, tossing it right on over to Sabrina Halverson with today's National Spotlight.
In today's National Spotlight, speaking on the Senate floor Tuesday, Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama made a plea for farmers.
The whole purpose of the Farm Bill is supposed to be to help farmers. What an idea. Yet $7 out of $8, again, $7 out of $8 in the Farm Bill is for something else. Our farmers depend on crop insurance, commodity programs such as the Agriculture Risk Program, the ARC as we call it, and price loss coverage, which is the PLC program, and disaster programs to help them deal with difficult crop yields, markets, and rising input costs. Farmers can't control the weather or the price, and that's the reason they need help. We have to remember, farmers put food on the table, but there's a lot of people that don't understand that. These are some of the hardest working people in America, and they have too little to show for it. Back home in my state of Alabama, I have heard the struggles facing our row croppers and our specialty crop producers. They need help to deal with inflation and rising input costs.
He made partisan points about how much inputs have increased in price and the price of relying on other countries.
Fuel and fertilizer are 60% to 130% higher than they were in 2021. Folks, we can't survive with that. But my colleagues on the left are not even concerned about it. Not one bit. We're just going to cut back on digging oil and gas and buy it from other countries and charge the heck out of taxpayers in the United States of America for oil and gas that we could produce here. Other farm expenses like land, cash rents, labor, and equipment are all adding up. As a result, net farm income is projected to decrease by roughly 23% this year. Costs are up, incomes are down, and farmers are struggling to survive. We are on a direct collision in this country of closing our farmers out and having to completely depend on other countries for our food and other things that we eat. Think about that, completely depend on other countries.
He said the farm safety net in the Farm Bill is vital to keeping America farming.
The problem is that safety net price has not been risen since 2012. And we don't think the prices haven't gone up. We've lost our mind. If we don't raise these reference prices, and right now, my colleagues on the left don't want to raise those reference prices for our farmers. We're going to be buying all of our food and everything that we eat from other countries. It's coming. We have got to raise our reference prices. We've got to help out our farmers. These programs and these reference prices allow our farmers to continue clothing, feeding, and fueling every citizen in this country and a lot of other countries.
That's today's National Spotlight. I'm Sabrina Halverson for AgNet West.
Thanks, Sabrina. And now for today's livestock report, here's Randall Wiseman.
Well, in today's livestock news, more than 100 pork producers from around the country attended the National Pork Producer Council's Spring Legislative Action Conference last week in Washington, D.C. The biannual fly-in featured a variety of speakers, a media briefing, and MPPC's widely popular congressional Bacon Fest reception in the Great Hall of the Library of Congress. MPPC President Scott Hayes kicked off the event by sharing the importance of having producers travel to meet with their members of Congress. He said, "Having you here in Washington speaking up for our industry is critical to having lawmakers understand that the decisions they make in Washington affect how we can continue to provide safe, nutritious food to American families and consumers worldwide." During the two-day event, speakers included MPPC board officer Senator Roger Marshall of Kansas and MPPC policy experts who focused on four key issue areas. Those four areas included 2023 Farm Bill priorities, finding a legislative solution to California Proposition 12, expanding trade and market access, and strengthening the H-2A visa program. To learn more about any of those key issues, just go to the National Pork Producers Council website, nppc.org. Well, the National Cattlemen's Foundation is accepting applications for their annual WD Forest Scholarship Program, but that application deadline is this Friday, September 22nd. The scholarship recognizes outstanding graduate students pursuing careers in meat science and animal agriculture. They're giving out two $15,000 grants. They're being awarded to graduate students who demonstrate superior achievement in academics and leadership and are committed to the advancement of the beef industry. Scholarship recipients recognize the program not only benefits their work, but also the entire industry. Now, graduate students must apply online again by this Friday, September 22nd. The recipients will be recognized then at the Cattle Industry Convention 2024. It'll be held in Orlando, January 31st through February 2nd. If you'd like more information and to apply for the scholarship, simply go to nationalcattlemensfoundation.org. And September is National Chicken Month, celebrating the most consumed meat in the U.S. Two-thirds of all chickens in America are raised in Alabama, Georgia, Arkansas, North Carolina, Mississippi, and Texas. Chicken is also one of the top ag exports for the U.S. Foreign markets are increasingly important, accounting for over $4.4 billion and 16% of world production last year alone. The U.S. is the second largest exporter in the world, as more than 145 countries imported U.S. frozen chicken leg quarters, legs, and thighs last year. While American consumers prefer chicken breast meat, dark meat is more widely desired and consumed internationally. Most U.S. chicken meat exports are often destined for low- and middle-income countries that value safe, affordable, and tasty high-protein options. I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West.
This is the AgNet News Hour by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. We'll be back in just a moment with more of the day's national headlines and local reports when we return. But don't forget, if you've missed any of our morning shows or if you simply need to catch the news at a different time, you can always subscribe to our podcast and have statewide agriculture news at your convenience. All you have to do is search AgNet News Hour or AgNet West on your favorite podcast downloading app. That's AgNet News Hour. It's available on both Apple and Android devices.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section and after Dad's back injury. They helped when you were in pain, and you held on to them, just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Trouble with opioids can start at home with unused medicines, such as pills, patches, and syrups. You can remove the risk and protect your family. Find out how at www.fda.gov/drugdisposal.
You've been listening to the AgNet News Hour by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. Welcome back. We've got more of the day's agriculture news right now.
A new USDA study shows the importance of Food Safety Education Month. That's coming up on This Land of Ours. USDA this week released results from the final year of a five-year study that observed how consumers prepare meals. The study observes food safety behaviors, including participants' thermometer use for ground pork sausage, hand washing, and cleaning and sanitizing food preparation surfaces. The most recent data shows that 87% of participants self-reported they washed their hands before starting to cook in the test kitchen. However, only 44% of participants were observed doing so before meal preparation. In the study, 50% of participants used a food thermometer to check the doneness of the sausage patties. However, 50% of those participants did not check all the food. The study used a harmless tracer bacteria, which was injected into the pork sausage, to simulate the spread of foodborne illness-causing bacteria. Among the surfaces tested, the kitchen sink was the most often contaminated. I'm Sabrina Halverson for AgNet West.
This is the Agricultural Law and Tax Report. I'm Roger McOwen. Lifetime gifting of assets is a great tool to use to prevent unnecessary estate taxes and transition the farming business. But if done incorrectly, gifting can prove costly. Gifting might be a good fit for your future plans, but avoid the mistakes when gifting. If you want to pay someone's medical or educational costs, pay the institution directly. Don't gift the money to the person. Don't overlook gift splitting with your spouse. Avoid gifting highly appreciated assets shortly before your death. And don't gift mortgage property if the mortgage balance exceeds the adjusted tax cost. The same thing goes for gifts of partnership interest when large liabilities are inside the partnership. Be careful making gifts to grandchildren. And when gifting life insurance policies, do it in trust and more than 3 years before death. When you gift property, don't retain too much control over the property. For Medicaid eligibility purposes, gifts are a countable asset if within the past 5 years. Don't gift an installment land contract to anyone other than your spouse. Gifts of IRAs are considered distributions, and if you aren't at least 59 and a half, a 10% penalty will be tacked on. If you gift income-producing property to a trust, you just might cause more of the income to be taxed at the highest tax rate. Avoid these mistakes when making gifts. This has been the Agricultural Law and Tax Report. I'm Roger McOwen.
They are important parts of small business development and success in several instances. Research and development of a product, technology, innovation, and the transfer of concepts, models, and prototypes from the lab or field to consumer availability in what is known as technology transfer. These are especially essential for small businesses within the food and agricultural sector.
We have lots of success stories. These small businesses do make a difference in keeping the U.S. competitive. A lot of times innovations come from strange places. Sometimes these small businesses are one-person shops. She or he may have an idea, have some research capability, and it develops into a reasonable size business. Other times their business is up to 500 employees, still considered a small business. They come in and really sort of will add a new perspective onto existing problem.
Tim Cotter is with USDA's National Institute to Food and Agriculture. Recently, NIFA announced investments in two programs, Small Business Innovation Research and Small Business Technology Transfer.
The idea is stimulating technology innovation, fostering and encouraging participation in technology innovation, also increasing private sector commercialization of some of the investments that the federal government makes in R&D, and then to increase small business participation in federal R&D deployment.
In the case of the Small Business Innovation Research Program, about $10 million was awarded to 61 projects, reflecting diversity on several levels. 20 awards were presented to minority or women-owned small businesses. 22 projects are located in federal hub zones, communities in both rural and urban economically distressed areas. Projects range from a Washington State aquaculture entity producing a new variety of freshwater cod for retail to a South Dakota energy conversion system that takes solar energy and makes it thermal for use as a cold climate greenhouse heating source.
For SBIR, the amount of funds that we can use to make awards is roughly 3.2% of all of the extramural funds from USDA.
Meanwhile, the first round of Small Business Technology Transfer Awards supports 15 businesses in 12 states with a total $2.5 million investment.
The end result are we really are funding the best innovations by small businesses, and in some cases with tech transfer, with cooperatives from nonprofit research institutions.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
This is the AgNet News Hour by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. We'll be back in just a moment with more of the day's national headlines and local reports when we return. But don't forget, if you've missed any of our morning shows or if you simply need to catch the news at a different time, you can always subscribe to our podcast and have statewide agriculture news at your convenience. All you have to do is search AgNet News Hour or AgNet West on your favorite podcast downloading app. That's AgNet News Hour. It's available on both Apple and Android devices.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
and we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back to the AgNet News Hour by AgNet West, providing you with statewide agriculture news daily. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. Now let's listen in to more featured segments.
We're keeping an eye on some outside markets as we move to the end of the week. I'm Mark Oppold with your bottom line report brought to you by Helena and Kloss Equipment. Register to win $10,000 worth of free farm diesel from Kloss. Go to fuel.kloss.com to register. Fuel.kloss.com. Crude oil has made a new high 8 sessions in a row, futures near 11-month highs now. The trend's still higher, but signs of a slowing global economy will put the brakes on going forward, we think. Weather in Brazil not only affecting corn and soybeans, coffee at 2-month highs, and October sugar in New York trade near 12-year highs. Rumblings continue on Wall Street regarding the Federal Reserve path going forward, and in D.C., some analysts suggesting a longer-than-normal government shutdown is ahead. This is the Bottom Line Report. We've read and heard about tight cattle supplies all spring and summer. One analyst says, though, why are pens still full? He cites the on-feed report coming tomorrow will likely show 11 million head on feed, near the same number as September of last year and September 2021, 2020, and 2019. Keep an eye on that. I'm Mark Oppold, wishing you a profitable day.
As combines are rolling in the fields, it's important to think about safety. As part of National Farm Safety and Health Week, Deepal Chaudhry, DeKalb, Asgro, and Delta Pine brand lead for Bayer, reminds growers of a few important safety tips to keep in mind during this hectic season.
First and foremost, we are heading into a season where everything just gets busy, right? We're trying to get the crop out of the field, and we have a limited amount of time. Mother Nature doesn't always work in our favor. So as things get busier, let's remember to slow down. I'm not saying it's easy to slow down, but let's remember to take that extra caution. When we're pulling a piece of equipment out, do a quick walk around. When we're driving down the road and we see a large piece of equipment going down the road, don't assume that they see you. Give them enough space. Slow down. That's really the biggest premise that tends to solve a lot of the challenges that we face when we get busy, is if you can slow down and take just a little bit extra caution, it will potentially save a life.
He recommends what should be top of mind with growers during harvest.
When you first jump into a new piece of equipment, just be aware of your surroundings by taking a quick walk around. That's something that we've always recommended and try to remind folks of. These are big pieces of machinery, and you don't always see exactly what's on the other side or what's right behind you in a blind spot. So a quick walk around goes a long way. Now, when you're following behind a large piece of equipment, give them space. Don't assume that they see you. Use as much caution as you can when you're around them. And then certainly give them right away. They've been working long hours many times. Their equipment doesn't always move as fast as we want to go. So just give them space and give them the right away.
Chaudhry says grain bin safety is also extremely important this time of year.
When it comes to grain bin safety, you know, we're moving the crop out of the field into the grain bins. There's a lot of moving pieces. And speaking of moving pieces, an auger is a key portion of getting that crop into the grain bin. Let's take precaution when we're around augers. Just because a little piece of trash or something's stuck at the bottom, don't think you can just quickly move in and remove it. Take a lot of precaution out there because it takes a split second for that auger to grab a hold of your fingers, your hand, and chew it up pretty quickly. And then when you're up on the grain bins, let's not take those extra leaps of faith, those extra steps where we think we can just balance it out. Let's take all the precaution we can to make sure that we're sturdy, that we're safe. And then certainly if you're on the grain bin and you're by yourself, make sure someone knows what you're doing, where you're working, so that they know to check on you and or help you if something came about.
He adds, it's a good reminder that folks know where you are at all times.
Certainly when things are busy during harvest season, how do we make sure that we're focusing on letting folks know where we are at all times? Working on a farm is like being part of a big team, and you always want to know that you have a little bit of a buddy system, right? So some farming teams are bigger, some are not so much bigger, but letting your team know, letting your buddy know on the team where you're at is critical, especially when it comes to safety reasons.
As part of National Farm Safety and Health Week, that was Deepal Chaudhry with Bayer, reminding you to be safe this harvest season. I'm Michael Clements reporting.
Green space, the final frontier of health and wellness.
Well, it might not be the final frontier, but a very important one for sure, important enough for the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Forest Service to invest a lot of money in it, because when it comes to access to green space, especially for urban cities and towns,
no community should be left behind.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack was in Cedar Rapids, Iowa last week to announce $1 billion national investment for 385 projects to plant trees and increase access to green space for millions of Americans who don't have that access. Vilsack says this is not just a beautification program, rather a life-saving one, especially with the climate warming up and many cities this summer suffering record-breaking deadly heat, made worse and more deadly because of the lack of tree cover. And he told reporters,
a tree canopy can reduce temperatures by anywhere from 11 to 19 degrees. In doing so, they can also help lower energy costs for consumers. We know that trees soak up CO2 and other pollutants, and therefore have a mitigating effect on the impacts and the adverse impacts of the climate crisis. They provide better air quality and so provide healthcare benefits, certainly in terms of people who are suffering from asthma and other lung-related diseases.
And on that score, a Forest Service researcher, Michelle Kondo, told me about a long-term study of 9 million people in 7 cities around the world in which researchers matched up those people's addresses with what kind of green spaces that were nearby. They also checked birth and death records for those folks, and the results were astounding. Very simply,
people live longer when they live in greener environments.
Because in many cases,
with a greener neighborhood, your risk of premature mortality goes down.
The problem is many towns and cities don't have the resources to create green spaces, plant trees, maintain those trees. It's those places to which many of these new projects are targeted because
everyone should have access to nature.
That is Brenda Mallory. She's chair of the White House Council on Environmental Quality.
Urban forests can really play a key role in ensuring both this access, but also increasing the climate resilience of communities, helping to reduce extreme heat, making communities more livable and comfortable and safe. And we have lots of data now that show us that these benefits of nature can provide for our communities are both physical, but also mental health, and also addressing our local economies and creating good-paying jobs.
And so Mallory says President Biden has set a goal to cut in half by the end of the decade the number of people who don't have access to parks and nature. Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
This is the AgNet News Hour by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. We'll be back in just a moment with more of the day's national headlines and local reports when we return. But don't forget, if you've missed any of our morning shows or if you simply need to catch the news at a different time, you can always subscribe to our podcast and have statewide agriculture news at your convenience. All you have to do is search AgNet News Hour or AgNet West on your favorite podcast downloading app. That's AgNet News Hour. It's available on both Apple and Android devices.
Water, a precious natural resource and essential for all farmers. But how much is too much or too little? And when is the best time to irrigate? Irrigation Water Management can answer those and other dilemmas by combining your knowledge of your farm with technical knowledge of plant, soil, and today's technology. At USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service, we've seen farmers like you add 5, 10, 15% or more to your water savings using IWM. NRCS specialists can help you optimize water savings through management. NRCS, helping people help the land since 1935.
You've been listening to the AgNet News Hour by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. Welcome back. We've got more of the day's agriculture news right now.
Today's specialty crop news brought to you by the Almond Board of California. You can find them online at almonds.com. We're joined by Senior Specialist of Industry Communications for the Almond Board, Taylor Hillman, this morning. Taylor, thanks for taking some time again here.
Absolutely, Brian. Happy to be here.
And today we are talking about something that the Almond Board is putting together. It sounds like kind of as a just an outreach to industry members, something that you're calling just the Almond Industry Gathering. And so what is this and what's this going to entail?
The Almond Board of California is putting together an Almond Industry Gathering. That is what we're calling it. But it's basically a roadshow, similar to something the field outreach and education team did back during COVID when we couldn't meet in person. We did an industry roadshow, but this roadshow is going to be a little bit different. The whole point of this roadshow is going to be for industry members, all industry members, a chance for them to meet their local board members and the new president and CEO of the Almond Board of California, Clarice Turner, as she makes several stops around the state. So it's just an opportunity to get together, have some one-on-one conversations that you may not be able to have in other avenues, you know, chat with the industry and have a good time. Short, no agenda. It should be kind of a fun gathering to be able to meet some of the leaders of the almond industry in your area.
So it sounds like kind of a an intimate type of gathering of just getting together and having those conversations that might not have that opportunity to at larger events or things like that. And you said it's a road show. So what are going to be some of the locations that you guys are hitting in the state?
Yeah, that's right. We're going to try to make it accessible to all of the almond industry. And that's a big area for California, as you know, Brian. So we're going to start down in the South Valley, end up in the North Valley. It's a 4-day road show, and we're going to hit 2 locations per day at the end of the month. So Monday, October 23rd, we will be in Shafter and Lemoore. The first one is at 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Shafter Veterans Hall. And then that afternoon from 3 p.m. to 4:30 p.m., we'll be at the Lemoore Veterans Hall. Then on Tuesday, October 24th, we'll be in Fresno and Merced. That morning session from 10:30 to 12 p.m. will be at the Fresno County Farm Bureau. And that afternoon session from 3 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. will be at the Merced County UC Cooperative Extension offices. Then on Wednesday, October 25th, we will be in Modesto and Dunnigan. The morning session from 10:30 to 12 p.m. will be at the Yara Incubator Farm in Modesto. And the 3 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. session will be at Yolo Hulling and Shelling in Dunnigan. And then finally, on Thursday, October 26th, we will be in Yuba City and Orland in the North State. The 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. session will be at the Sutter Yuba County UC Cooperative Extension offices. And the 3 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. session will be at the Glenn County Farm Bureau.
So it sounds like you're definitely going to be making the rounds throughout California, giving growers from every region kind of an opportunity to get together and participate in this. And as part of that, are people going to need to register for this?
Yeah, that's right. Again, there's no agenda. There will be no presentations. I think there'll be a short greeting. But this is literally an event to have those one-on-one conversations and meet. However, we will have some light refreshments, and we need to be cognizant of how many people are showing up at these locations. So we are asking for registration, and industry members can do so by going to almonds.com/events, and they can see it on the calendar, almonds.com/events. And there will also be a lot of communications coming out in the next week or two sent to people on the communications list from the Almond Board of California. So if you get the In the Orchard newsletter or the Weekly Handler and stuff like that, we will be sending out some communications on how to register for these events.
Very good. And for anybody that might not have the opportunity to make it to any of these, you know, on the week of October 23rd, there will be some more opportunities to interact coming up at the Almond Conference, right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, the initial goal was to do this roadshow after harvest, but harvest has been a little bit later than we're used to. So we know a lot of growers are still harvesting now. We hope growers will be finished by the end of October, but we know handlers will be running 100% at that time. So if you can't make it the week of October 23rd through 26th, yes, Clarice will be at the Almond Conference 2023 this year. She will be involved in several presentations, and she'll be around the conference, and that's kind of the big rollout for her as the new CEO. So she will be at conference this year, and there'll be some opportunities there as well.
Very good. And just for people that are interested in attending, let's get a refresher for where they can get information or signed up for the Almond Conference this year.
That's right. Registration is open for the Almond Conference 2023. You can do so at almonds.com/conference. Hotels, the blocks were opened last week. I know some of the more popular ones that are right next door to the convention center in Sacramento have limited availability. I think there are single nights still available at a couple of those, but there are plenty of other blocks open as well that are a little bit farther away, but still very accessible. So you can find all the information at allmans.com/conference. If you register, it also puts you on the list to receive communications about the conference that'll be coming out leading up to it. So it's a good way to stay up to date with what's new, the sessions, when all that stuff's announced, the speakers that will be put out to that communications list. So again, allmans.com/conference.
Thanks, Brian, and stay tuned as we'll have more of the day's agriculture news and farm features here on the AgNet News Hour. Don't forget, if you've missed any of our morning shows or if you simply need to catch the news at a different time, you can always subscribe to our podcast and have statewide agriculture news at your convenience. All you have to do is search our name of AgNet West on your favorite podcast downloading app. That's AgNet West. It's available on both Apple and Android devices.
GMOs? Genetically engineered? Bioengineered? What's what? Well, GMO stands for genetically modified organism. It's the common term many people use for foods created through a process scientists call genetic engineering. And you'll start seeing bioengineered on some food packages to let you know the product or some of its ingredients come from GMOs. Feed your mind with more GMO knowledge on FDA's website.
You've been listening to the AgNet News Hour by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. Welcome back. We've got more of the day's agriculture news right now. Market opportunities through climate innovations. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack discussed the potential of climate smart markets and innovations to provide new opportunities for producers around the world. Here's USDA's Rod Bain with comments from the secretary in this next report.
World Food Day Wednesday and Global Climate Week this week has included several events and conferences. Among those, a Wednesday discussion in New York City featuring Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack on global climate mitigation and potential commodity and market opportunities.
I think there is a growing recognition on the part of agriculture and farmers globally that they need to be seizing the opportunity here.
One example offered by the secretary, reducing methane emissions from livestock and developing potential value-added products from methane capture.
I learned not too long ago that methane could potentially replace water in the development of concrete.
He adds the key to such innovation and market development through avenues such as the Global Aim for Climate Initiative is to
make it easy for farmers to know exactly what they need to do and then to provide the market incentives for doing the right thing.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. The USDA is seeking beginning Farmer and Ranchers Committee members. The Department of Agriculture on Monday announced a call for nominations to the Advisory Committee of Beginning Farmers and Ranchers. First established in 1992, the committee advises the Agriculture Secretary to enhance USDA's goals for new farming and ranching operations. Members of the public are invited to submit nominations for themselves or other qualified experts by October 10th of 2023. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says, quote, USDA is committed to helping the beginning farmer, the young farmer, access and make use of USDA's programs. USDA is soliciting nominations from interested organizations and individuals from among ranching and farming producers, related state and tribal agricultural entities, academic institutions, commercial banking entities, trade associations, and related nonprofit enterprises. The Agriculture Secretary may appoint up to 20 members to the committee. An organization may nominate individuals from within or outside its membership. Interested candidates may also nominate themselves. Find the nomination requirements and information on the committee website. NAFB contributed to that report.
While lawmakers continue the back and forth on the budget, some are keeping their eye on the farm bill. Speaking on the Senate floor, Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama made a plea for farmers. He said the farm safety net in the farm bill is vital to keeping America farming.
The problem is that safety net price has not been risen since 2012. And we don't think the prices haven't gone up We've lost our mind.
He warned there would be major consequences if those prices weren't raised.
We're going to be buying all of our food and everything that we eat from other countries. It's coming. We have got to raise our reference prices. We've got to help out our farmers. These programs and these reference prices allow our farmers to continue clothing, feeding, and fueling every citizen in this country.
I'm Sabrina Halverson for AgNet West.
Accomplishments of USDA and Coca-Cola's partnership. USDA has renewed its partnership with Coca-Cola to restore watersheds. Deputy Agriculture Secretary Jotel Torres-Small lists some of the accomplishments of USDA's partnership with the Coca-Cola Company over the last decade.
So far, the partnership has resulted in 900 acres of land restored, which achieved over 14 miles of stream restoration, with more than 1,000 stream restoration structures installed, and 17 miles of river, as well as 62 acres of upstream lake reconnected.
Marcus Seelig, Chief Conservation Officer of the National Forest Foundation, says, quote, innovative partnerships like this one are vital for making sure streams and rivers retain their ability to provide for nature and people. Support from Coca-Cola Company has allowed us to achieve so much on the ground success already. With this renewed commitment, we look forward to accomplishing more. To learn more about the partnership, you can visit fs.usda.gov.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit AgNet West online at agnetwest.com. You can also stay connected by following us on our social media at AgNet West on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also find our broadcast team of Danielle Leal, Brian German, and Sabrina Halvertson on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you for listening to the AgNet News Hour from AgNet West. AgNet West Radio Network, your primary choice for agriculture news.